Philippines ESPN PS.
Hello and welcome to part two of the Superfan Super Mock Draft. I will be your bus driver, Jay Soderberg, joined by the, the engine, the really important part, Matt Williamson.
What's going on, buddy?
What's happening?
Not a lot. Ready to roll for part two.
Yeah. Picks 1 through 16 are in the books. If you missed that, go back and download yesterday's podcast, Football Today. You can find it on the Pod Center page at ESPNradio.com. Go to the archive tab, select Football Today, and you'll see it right there. Today is picks 17 through 32 plus the three teams, yes, I said three teams, that are out of the first round, because in our scenario, three teams will not be picking in the first round. We start with the San Francisco 49ers at pick 17. They had a pick already. Michael Sullivan rejoins us, and Michael wasn't able to join us on draft night, so he gave us his draft list. And Michael, we ended up selecting Sergio Kindle for you, because that's the next player on your list who wasn't an offensive lineman. Now, you mentioned yesterday, in yesterday's podcast, you wouldn't have minded having two offensive linemen out of this first round.
That is correct. I mean, I'm very happy. If the Niners were able to get Sergio Kindle, I would be ecstatic. But I could also see them taking a second offensive lineman.
Now, Matt, you weren't a fan of taking Sergio Kindle for the 49ers, and I think you were kind of half busy with something else at the time I was trying to have the conversation with you as to what we should do. What are your feelings here with what the 49ers should do here with their second pick?
Yeah, you know what? The way this draft fell, and I think we need to say, and just let everybody know again, that Anthony Davis was the pick earlier. So they already had a tackle who they're going to plug in on the right side. And to me, that's need number one. And they should be thrilled that he fell there. That works out very well for them with their first pick. And then the second pick rolled around, and Michael had Iupati as the highest guy on his list. And you aren't sure, you know, should we go two offensive linemen or not? I kind of shied away against it because I felt like their guard play was good enough. And I think they're decent at center. Iupati is a guard or a right tackle. They just drafted a right tackle. It would obviously attack their biggest need, and I wouldn't have a lot of problem with it considering who else was on the board, because I didn't love Kindle for them. I didn't love Taylor Mays for them. I mean, I think they would love to get a Spiller, a Hayden, maybe Kyle Wilson. Now that's a little early for him. Earl Thomas would be a great pick for them. I'm just not sure where this 17th pick works out great for them, because I kind of have hope for Ahmad Brooks and some of their other outside linebackers. But in the end, if you go with a pass rusher, it's really hard to argue with that, too.
Michael, if you get, let's go in hypothetical, and let's say you do get your two offensive linemen here in the first round. What are you hoping falls to you next for the 49ers?
Well, in the second round, they'd have to be looking at corner or safety. The draft is deep at corner safety. Somebody they can plug in at nickel or dime, you know, later on, and then progress later to be a starter in a couple years. The thing I like about Iupati is David Boss is on a one-year contract right now, so you wouldn't have to rush him into the lineup. Anybody gets hurt, he can step in. Plus, you add a little competition in that offensive line, which would be great. With Kindle, the thing I like about him is Manny Lawson's also on a one-year deal. You let him kind of play part-time, work his role in, and next year he's ready to go.
But, Michael, if you would have been available, who would you have taken, Kindle or Iupati?
You know, it would be tough. I think I probably would have taken Iupati.
Okay.
I love his attitude. Yeah, it's tough to argue. This draft is so deep. I mean, there's going to be some players that are going to slide, but I love Iupati's attitude. I think they need that, you know, don't take any grief and beat people up.
Do you agree, though, that secondary would be the ideal spot to go here at 17?
They're getting old. I don't know if they're going to bring back Walt Harris this year. They're definitely getting old. Dre Bly wasn't very good last year. Nate Clements hasn't been what they thought. So they need a young corner to step in with Spencer and Goldson at safety.
All right, Michael. Well, thanks so much for joining us on both days of the Superfan Supermock Draft. We'll talk to you down the line.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
With the 18th pick in the Superfan Supermock Draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers, represented by Scott Brumley, selected Dez Bryant. Now, Scott wasn't there, so I guess your super fan, super twin powers with Matt Williamson worked out, and Matt took Dez Bryant here for you.
Yeah, I mean, I love that pick. It's exactly who I was kind of eyeing up. The only thing that concerns me with him is he apparently may have some character issues. But, you know, he's young, and I guess it all comes through the interview process, and usually the Steelers are really good at weeding those out, so who knows.
Yeah, what's interesting with me with Dez Bryant is, you know, everyone's going to talk about, well, you're going to trade one, you know, character concern for another with Santonio Holmes. I don't know Dez Bryant, so I'm not going to pretend to tell you what his personality is, but from what I understand, he's just a very immature young man. I mean, I think he's 20 or 21 years old, but he takes football very, very seriously. He doesn't do anything not like Santonio Holmes in that he's getting arrested or doing things that are against the law. And I think if you brought Dez Bryant into this locker room, said, hey, you're out with Hines Ward all day, every day, get used to it. I think it's a positive situation. If you're immature, you could go one way or the other. You know, I think he can, you know, grow up quickly in the system. So, in the end, though, I don't see him being there at 18. I think they'll end up with one of the interior offensive linemen, preferably Pouncey. I just don't think Dez Bryant can last all the way to 18.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, for him, Dez Bryant personally, you know, he's a young kid. He's made some mistakes. Like you said, it's not major mistakes. Mistakes that young kids make, and his just on a more magnified scale because he's a stud wide receiver for a major college program. But I agree with you that I don't think that he's going to fall that far. I think somebody else is going to take the quote unquote chance on him. But if he does, I'd be more than glad to welcome him to the Steelers.
Yeah, I hear you, bud. And one side note, you in the Berg right now, buddy?
Yes, I am.
Where at?
I am just south in South Point.
Okay. You're about 15 minutes away from me right now, then.
Yep.
Yeah, let's root for Dez Bryant to go 18. That sounds like a home run to me.
Definitely.
All right, Scott, thanks for joining us. I'm glad you guys had your Steeler love fest.
And we'll meet for lunch.
Thank you very much.
All right, joining us next with pick number 19 representing the Atlanta Falcons is Tyler Reeves. Tyler ended up taking Brandon Graham, the defensive end here. Before we get to his pick, though, Tyler almost wasn't able to join us, Matt, because he is in the midst of taking exams to join the Navy.
Oh, no kidding. Well, best of luck with that.
Yeah, I did some time at school and just decided it wasn't for me. So I've always had this thing about being a part of something bigger than myself, and so I'm in the final leg of enlistment.
Very good. Best of luck. That's great.
Well, Tyler, we thank you, and we appreciate everything that you're about to do for us and our country, defending our freedom, as we like to say on the Fantasy Focus podcast. Now let's get to the important stuff here, and that's football. And Brandon Graham for your Atlanta Falcons. Talk to us about why you made this pick.
Well, as I'm sure y'all will remember, I was desperately trying to move up to get the our boy from a Georgia Tech, Morgan, I believe. But, you know, as I saw it, he wasn't going to be there for me. And, in fact, if I had to be honest, I don't think Brandon Graham will be around in the actual draft. So I had this long deliberation between him and Demaryius Thomas, also from Georgia Tech. I probably spent more time than I should looking at him, but the truth being, I can't stand Mike Jenkins anymore. I want him out of Atlanta for good. But I'd have to admit, as any other Falcon fan will, that our pass rush is our biggest concern, with Jamal Anderson being one of the biggest busts in recent history, and John Abraham getting old and he's not a guarantee to play all 16 games. He's not really a guarantee to play 10 games anymore. So we need to generate a pass rush, and I don't expect our corners to do all the work, but I think the addition of Dungy Robinson, even if he's not great, you know, doesn't make that as glaring a need anymore.
You know what, this is the pick I would have made too, and what you need to remember with Atlanta is they don't have a second round pick. That went for Tony Gonzalez. So it'd be nice to add a receiver. It'd be nice to, you know, I think Weatherspoon would be somebody you consider here as the outside linebacker, to add another versatile playmaker on that second level. But in the end, I don't think you can leave the first two rounds of this draft without a defensive end. So I really have Atlanta pigeonholed into best defensive end available, and I think that's Graham. You know, the way this draft went, You almost got your hands on Derek Morgan, which is kind of a pipe dream in my opinion. I don't think he would is going to last as long as he did in this draft, let alone the 19. But Graham's a heck of a football player. The Falcons are close, in my opinion. They're you know, a legitimate contender. I think they can make a shot at the playoffs for sure. And I think Graham is very NFL-ready and will help you now.
Yeah, I think he will, too. And it was really rough because for a while I had totally slipped my mind that we didn't have a second-round draft pick, and I start putting in offers for trades. And I look and I'm like, oh,
you don't
minus
offer,
a second
right?
round. Yeah, I may have been able to make one with the second round, but I with, you know, from the draft where we got, you know, Matty Ice and Sam Baker, I put faith in TD to find something or somebody that works for us there.
Yeah, I like the pick.
All right, Tyler, well, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
So with pick number 20 in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, Mad Mike Brook, representing the Houston Texans, selected Devin McCourty. And Matt, I don't remember if you particularly liked this pick or if, what were your feelings on this pick?
Well, I probably wouldn't have taken McCourty over Kyle Wilson as the number two corner coming off the board here, or probably Kareem Jackson either. I like Kareem Jackson a lot from Alabama, and I don't think he went in our first round, which I think he will when it comes Thursday night. That's not really a knock on McCourty, though. McCourty's very solid in all areas. He's going to help you immediately and a great deal on special teams. So I don't have a lot of problem with it. I probably just would have sided with Wilson over McCourty, but corner's clearly a need for them. And, you know, it didn't. I don't think the board broke particularly well for them to go with a Dan Williams or an Earl Thomas or one of those guys. The obvious elephant in the room, though, is the running back position. You know, why don't you jump on Ryan Matthews and solidify that offense? That wouldn't be something I'd have a lot of problem with, but generally speaking, I don't like to go running back high. You know, I'd much rather spend a first-round pick on a corner than a running back. But you look at Houston, I kind of look at Houston as if you add that stud runner, all of a sudden you don't have to worry about anything on offense anymore. You can dedicate the rest of your draft to defense and just keep taking the best defensive players off the board. I still probably would have leaned corner, but I think there is an argument for the running back position. But you look at that offense, too. They've had an awful lot of success with mid-round runners, even though I do think Matthews fits the scheme well.
Well, let's hear what Mad Mike had to say to defend himself. Now picking 20th in the Superfan Super Mock Draft is the Houston Texans, and we are joined by Mad Mike Brook. He has selected Devin McCourty, cornerback. Is that where you feel your biggest need is, Mad Mike?
Well, yeah, I think that is our biggest need, letting Dante Robinson go in free agency. We definitely need to get as many corners as we can. Fred Bennett, after a good rookie season, is disappointed, and we've got another corner who I can't even think of his name because he's never field. I think his last name is Luton, because he's always injured. So we definitely need to have some more cornerbacks to be able to handle the wide receivers up in Indianapolis.
that's one way to look at it. Were you thinking at all on the offensive side of the ball, perhaps to try and keep up with the Colts is?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Matthews because that's probably where everybody's looking and that's where a few people place him at 20. But I'm not excited about him playing at Fresno State against a pretty weak conference. I think we can do better in the second or third round with Montario Hardesty or Toby Gerhardt. You know, everybody thinks Gerhardt is just one big battering ram, but he's got a little bit more athletic ability than people think. Guy never goes down on first contact. You know, that's the kind of running back you're looking for to augment what Steve Slayton is doing, provided Slayton can come back from his neck surgery that he had this offseason.
So picking at number 21 for the Cincinnati Bengals in the Superfan Super Mock Draft is Keith Gregory. And Keith, you selected Taylor Mays.
Yes, sir. I went with another Trojan. We have a few other Trojans on the roster that have been good to us. I really think that in Mike Zimmer's defense that he can flourish. With his defense, it seems like he brings his safeties up to support the run and blitz the passer, and I think he has all the speed in the world to do that. You know, we saw what he did with Roy Williams, and I don't think it's questionable that Mays is a much better athlete than Roy Williams. So I think it's a win-win situation on that half.
Matt, what do you think of the pick?
I'm just not a big believer in Taylor Mays. I think he is going to go in this neighborhood, and honestly, I could very much see him being the 21st pick in the draft to the Bengals. They love the USC guys. They like to go defense and big school players in the first round. I just don't know. I just don't love him as a player. To me, he seems like a weak side linebacker who's very straight line-ish with questionable instincts. Boy, he's big. Boy, he's fast. I get all that. I just would like to see him more plays at the college level. And to be honest, the guy I probably, looking back at the draft, who I probably would have jumped on here would be Maurkice Pouncey and just be, you know, tremendous on the offensive line, and where I think they're good and I think they're excellent in run blocking. You know, when you look at the NFC North, you go against Naga, Sean Rogers, Casey Hampton. I think it would go a long way to be tremendous at center. Oh, that's a bit of a luxury pick, but the Bengals are actually at that stage of their development now where I don't think their needs are massive. A free safety would certainly be nice. A tight end, I think, was something you probably kicked around. Did you think about Gresham at all?
Oh, I definitely thought of Gresham. I mean, you know, the biggest thing that jumps out at me, obviously, is coming off the knee injury.
Sure.
I think there's a little bit of risk there. Marvin made an interesting comment the other day stating because of Gresham's injury and the injury to the guy from Arizona, and some of the next-tier guys had moved up on the board, you know, because of those injuries. So I think he might be hinting at something in the second or third round there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you very much. I think this is a very good draft to grab a tight end in round two, round three. So that's going to hurt Gresham and Gronkowski. And I don't have a huge problem with Mays or the position. I just don't love the player. I just think he's a little bit overblown just because of his size, speed, numbers. He has a chance to be great. I think Zimmer's a heck of a coach, and maybe they can get a lot out of him. But I probably would have went Pouncey. I just don't think where they're sitting and how this draft shaped up, I don't think it shaped up great for Cincinnati either.
Okay. I definitely understand your point there. I think the one thing, if you look at the Chinedim Ndukwe, he's kind of a bigger guy too, a hybrid type guy.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has all the athleticism that Mays has. And I'm kind of a biased guy. One of my all-time favorite Bengals, David Fulcher. You know, I figure if I get Mays in a role like that, you know, a big guy in the secondary, you know, Roy Williams and Chris Crocker, both 30 years old, both of them seem to be injured every year. Like you said, we do have the luxury of kind of picking our position and, you know, get a 23, 24-year-old safety in there who, you know, you could have 5-10 years. I don't think it'd be a bad thing right now.
Yeah, I tend to think this is actually how it will go, but I'm not going to be in love with it if it does, and just because I just think Taylor Mays has a lot of bust potential.
Right. It's definitely risk there, definitely risk.
Did you give any consideration to the wide receivers? I know they've done a lot to add a few wide receivers, but not necessarily big names.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if they had not signed Antonio Bryant, I would have went with Dez Bryant. But, you know, with them signing him, a guy who's been in the league for 4 or 5 years now, and he was like the 9th receiver taken in his class, and he's outproduced all of them. You know, it just, the receiver is such a crapshoot, especially in the first round. But, you know, he's proven. The tight end thing has really astonished me in a way. It's like the last couple of years, everybody said, oh, we don't have a tight end. We don't have a tight end when Carson's dropping back. But I think it's more they're missing, you know, TJ and Chad, you know, when those two guys were in the picture, or TJ and Chris Emery, when those two guys were in the picture, nobody even knew about the tight end except for his name was Reggie Kelly.
Yeah, I think their tight end position's interesting because they've always wanted a blocker there. They want to throw to the perimeter, Carson's big arm. They want to use three receiver sets whenever they're really clicking. And then, you know, I think they made a conscious effort to say, we're going to become a run-first team. We're going to be the biggest, baddest team in the division. And they accomplished that. But in the end, their pass protection kind of broke down. They didn't have enough options, one of which is because of, you know, Henry's unfortunate passing, which obviously isn't their fault. But, you know, I think they're a lot better at the receiver position now than they were when the season ended. I'm a believer in Antonio Bryan. I think he can really help. And I just don't know what they're doing at tight end. You know, they drafted Kaufman last year, who's more of a pass catcher than a blocker. He's a different mold than what they've gone to, but because of all the injuries, they still weren't able to use a position. So I'm just not sure what their intentions are at the position. Do they want a six lineman? And they use a lot of six lineman sets
right
last year, too. You know, do they want a six lineman type guy, or do they really want a field stretcher? And
right,
I think this draft will tell us a lot.
Absolutely. I think the only other thing to throw in, man, is the Bengals, you know, within the division, you got, you know, Polamalu and Ed Reed. They've seen the effect of what a strong safety, you know, a solid safety can do. If you have a Polamalu, Ed Reed type guy, and I think they're just trying to hope to get that out of Mays. And it's just such an impact player. He has all the ability in the world if he wants to put his mind to it.
Now, with the 22nd pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, Barry Nsiong represented the New England Patriots, although I fear that this pick may have been heavily influenced by myself. He went wide receiver with Demaryius Thomas. Barry,
go ahead.
Was this all me? Were you just doing this to appease me, or did you like the pick as well?
Put it this way. I wouldn't have gone that way if I didn't have at least some faith in making sense. But, yeah, when I gave you my my list of, I guess, candidates that I was considering, you probably noticed it was all the defensive end, outside linebacker positions. So that's kind of what I was looking for in terms of getting some pass rush going, especially with our thinness at that position. So I was looking at a number of other players to help out the pass rush, but, you know, once you suggested Demaryius, I kind of looked him up and saw that as the number two wide receiver in the draft. I thought that was a good value.
Matt, before you jump in, because I know Matt wasn't thrilled with the pick. He saw the reasoning behind it. But Sergio Kindle is at the top of our wish list. And
yep,
Sergio wasn't available at this point.
Right, and he might be in the real on Thursday. I think that's a possibility for you guys. I didn't love the pick. I do understand the rationale, but I don't have one name that I can jump out and say, boy, I would have taken this guy instead, though. You know, so I get it because he's big, he's fast. He could be in time. Maybe he could do the Moss's role. But right now, you know, he's coming from that crazy offensive scheme in Georgia Tech where it's all triple option. They throw the ball 12 times a game, 13 times a game, and most of them are to him, but he only really runs a couple routes. I think it's going to take him a long time before he's really ready to make an impact. And can the Pats wait? Yeah, maybe, but I think they'd rather have, you know, Aurelius Ben or Golden Tate or one of those guys later in the draft in a trade-up scenario who's a little more ready. But I see it. I mean, he's big and fast. He can be your future Moss if Moss isn't there. You know, guys that are on the board that I'd kind of have interest in, I think Griffin from USC would be somewhat interesting. I really think a guy like Javid Best from Cal would be a great Patriot to be a dynamic, big play Kevin Falk plus who can really make a lot of plays out of the spread in space as a running back for you guys. But it's a deep running back draft. Ryan Matthews, I think, would be a consideration. But like I said, overall, I can't come up with one name who's still out there that I would say clearly should have been the pick. If I had to take one, though, the name I didn't mention was Jared Odrick from Penn State. He just really seems like a Patriots type of player, tough, hard-nosed, custom-made for the 3-4 as a defensive end. And I think he would be a real nice fit for you guys.
Barry, Jared was on your list of candidates. He was last on my list of candidates.
Not a real flashy pick.
What's that?
Sorry, one more time.
It's not a real flashy pick, but he's their type of guy.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. I don't know these players that well. I just read reviews that have been written up on the internet and such, and just based on the description, it sounded like, you know, he would be the type of player that the Patriots would take.
Listen, I mean, pass rush is definitely something that's lacking with this team, and is a need that should be addressed at some point in this draft. Whether it falls to us at 22 or not, in this draft, I didn't feel that it did. We have three. I keep saying we. I should stop doing that, really. I should. The Patriots have three third-round draft picks, Barry, and I feel I don't feel we're going to end up with three second-round draft picks.
You know, I don't know what they'll do with the second round, but actually I think the most likely scenario for the first, the number 22 pick, is to trade out of that too. Unless they do, you know, unless they really have fallen in love with somebody. But I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, that's kind of that range where somebody who is projected to go in the early teens is still available and the team says, wow, okay, you know, let's see if we can wheel and deal. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Patriots drop out and not have pick anything on Thursday night at all.
You know, Matt, I think we've discussed this before, but this is clearly a very important draft for the Patriots, especially with the moves made by the Jets and the Dolphins this year.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, they really have played, as usual, they keep playing ahead, playing it forward, where they keep accumulating picks for future drafts, and they already have two first-rounders for the 2011 draft. So, yes, I'm kind of with you guys that I kind of like their chances to trade down again or take one of those second-round picks and turn it into yet another first-round pick for next year. But then it wouldn't shock me either if Belichick's looking at this thing like, man, we might not be the kings of the division anymore. We have all these cards in our hand, like usual. Maybe we attack and go up to go get somebody that they really love. You know, Pierre Paul, Morgan, whoever it is, maybe Kindle. And you don't have to go up all that far to get some of those guys. But it wouldn't shock me if they actually used a couple of those resources to go get a stud. And Dez Bryant really stands out to me. If he starts to fall, I could see New England saying, yeah, let's go up and use our first-round pick next year, which could be 32. I mean, it could be 25. It could be a late pick, knowing that you have the Raiders, which is probably a top-five pick. So they have so many resources that it wouldn't blow me away if they take the opposite approach this year and go get some stud.
Barry, thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem. Thanks a lot.
With the 23rd pick in the Superfan Supermock Draft, we're joined by the Green Bay Packers superfan Maya Donahue, who ended up selecting Kyle Wilson. But Maya, you did give some thought to trading out of the first round.
Yeah, I did. And maybe we could actually start with that, because Adam Schefter just reported yesterday that Green Bay is one of the teams that's looking very seriously at moving up to the 10 to 12 range. So I was looking at maybe an offensive tackle. But I was curious, first of all, your opinion, who do you think they'd be looking at, kind of in your gut feeling of that sort of that range if they trade up?
I would think it'd be Joe Hayden, much like the Eagles did.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, much like the Eagles did in our mock draft. I would think,
right,
Hayden would be their target. You know, maybe if one of those tackles fell, you know, an Anthony Davis, one of those type of guys.
Right.
I look at their needs, and I think their needs in order are corner, outside linebacker, then tackle. I mean, I can live with T.J. Lang, Tauscher, Clifton for another year and you know, worry about it down the line or get a project in the mid rounds. But I would corner something they need to attack.
Well, yeah, and obviously, and because, you know, Matt, you and I were both watching that game on opposite sides, the Pittsburgh game. You know, it was painful. We were missing, you know, without Al Harris. That was actually a matchup I was looking forward to before he got hurt, is Al Harris against Hines Ward. I thought that would have been really exciting. But
sure,
you know, we got torched by you guys, and we got torched by the Cardinals again. So it's no big wonder why that's a big need. So that's why that's obviously why I went with Kyle Wilson. You know, I think he's got all the physical potential you look for, and you know, he's been a playmaker. And also, you know, I think one of the things about when I look at the draft, one of the things that I look at is what makes an NFL bust in the draft. You know, it's one of the big questions. And I think if you looked at, you know, like made a pie chart, I think almost the entire chart would be made up of, you know, largely two things. That would be injuries and work ethic. And this guy's been a four-year starter, and he hasn't had any durability questions at all. So you like the injury thing. You know, that's something you feel really secure about. And, you know, the work ethic thing I thought was really fascinating, Matt, in your interview with the quarterbacks coach, where, you know, he was talking about Jamarcus Russell and Tom Brady, and, you know, what makes these two guys, you know, selected at such different positions so different. And, you know, and he said about Jamarcus Russell, he doesn't ask questions. You know, he wants to rely on his physical ability. And so in regards to that, I see Kyle Wilson as a guy who, you know, he's known as a real team leader, and every indication is that he's a real hard worker as well. So that's why I feel really good about this pick.
Yeah, this makes an awful lot of sense to me. And personally, I have my doubts that he'll actually be on the board at 23 on Thursday.
You know, I think he might grab him.
Yeah, and there's a couple teams, I think, that would be pretty excited to nab him or to settle for him. And I think he kind of nailed it, though, too, is I don't see a lot of bust potential with him. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of Pro Bowls in his future, but I think he could be your number two corner forever and ever and be real happy with that, especially if, you know, with Charles Woodson playing as high a level as he is. And, you know, right now he'd come in as your nickel corner, and you need those guys. And you know, Minnesota's going to spread the field. Mike Martz is in the division now. Matthew Stafford's only going to get better. You need to defend the pass, and it was a big weakness of Green Bay when it mattered most last year. And I think this would be a very good step in the right direction. I would keep your fingers crossed to see whether or not it actually can happen, though. You know, 23 is a long way for him to fall.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask another question, because the thing I was considering here, and I was going back and forth almost on a daily basis, that I actually think, you know, you have to look at tackle as being a major need here, because I think, you know, Chad Clifton is 33 years old. He's got a lot of injury history.
Sure.
And, you know, if I were putting my, you know, life savings, all, you know, $600 of it or whatever, you know, on the line, I would bet that he's not going to make it 16 games. And, you know, that's pretty scary thinking of our chances in the big game, you know, resting on his health. So I was really seriously considering looking at Charles Brown here. And I didn't do that because I thought it was a bit of a reach. And that's why, you know, that's why Thompson hasn't done it either. Seriously, if you look at his draft history, his entire time as a GM, he's never selected a tackle before the fourth round. And I think that's why you kind of see, you know, that you know, we still have these guys selected in 2000, and there's nobody else really behind, I think, left tackle. So, I mean, would that have been crazy, or what would you have thought of that pick right there?
No, I wanted to bring that up, too. And he's a guy that is gaining an awful lot of steam, and I do not think it'd be a reach at 23. He's a pure left tackle. And in all honesty, he might be gone. I don't think that he gets out of the first round for sure. Yeah, I think he could go in the middle of the first round. I think he's really picking up steam, and I would have no problem with that pick either here at 23. I just thought corner was a slightly bigger need, especially when you're considering, you know, you're a contender and it's
right,
a live for today situation.
Charles Wilson is, Charles Brown is not going to help you, you know, from day one. But
unless Clifton gets hurt, like you said.
Right, exactly, and even then is even ready for it. You know, I think he's a good pass blocker, but he looks pretty regrettable in the run blocking area. So I think he needs a little bit of help there. But yeah, I think I like Kyle Wilson. I think he's a guy that he's going to see playing time right from game one. I think so. Feel good about that.
One quick question for you: are you looking for I don't think Javid Best will be there, but a dynamic change of pace runner to add to this offense?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think the thing is, you know, Ryan Grant is, you know, he's not a real spectacular guy, but he gets the job done. They're kind of a pass first team. And I think the guys that I'm looking at, you know, like obviously CJ Spiller won't be there. I think Javid Best is he's a real shifty guy. And I think, you know, they're looking for the kind of one cut sort of guy. So I think that you're going to see them select a back somewhere in this draft. And, you know, I think every fan out there is looking at McCluster. You know, would love to see him on their team, and I'm no exception to that. And but I think, you know, some of the bigger guys like Montario Hardesty, you know, might be a good fit. So I think one of those guys in later rounds as well would be good. And I think definitely this draft is going to be deep in potential outside linebacker, you know, pass rushers in later rounds. Maybe like a Cole Meese or somebody like that would be good as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think they will. I'd try to add somebody a little more dynamic than Ryan Grant.
Nope. Yeah. He doesn't really excite you, but he doesn't let you down either.
True.
So.
All right. Thanks, Maya.
Excellent, guys. Thanks a lot. It's been fun.
Take care.
I will talk to you soon. Okay.
So picking next in the Superfan Supermock Draft is Andrew Schellenberg, who is representing the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Andrew, you ended up trading down with the Eagles to this pick. And you got Sean Witherspoon, who you admitted to me was a guy you wanted all along.
Yeah, that's right. I made the trade because as Matt Williams said in the draft, you know, Jaguars are no man's land at that point. I felt it was in my best interest to trade down. I know linebacker isn't our biggest need. We lost our second round pick last year so we could get Derek Cox. So we essentially got Derek Cox, our third round pick. We went back to back Derek Cox, Terrence Knight, and last year. Got back my second round pick, and yeah, I targeted Sean Witherspoon from the beginning. Jaguars are a best player available team, and he was the guy on my board that I had ranked the highest, and I chose him. I think while it's not our top need at linebacker, he does definitely fill a need.
Yeah, I think he does too. And this isn't the pick I would have made, but I can't really criticize it either because he is a dynamic, fast, versatile playmaker. I mean, you can blitz him, you can drop him in coverage. I think he's going to be on the field for all three downs. He will help, and he'll help immediately, and that's what they need. I mean, Jack Del Rio's on the hot seat. You can't really afford projects at this point. The guy that I think was most appealing with how this draft went was I think I would have taken Marquise Pouncey, who I'm extremely high on. I think Brad Meester has become a major liability at center for you guys, and even the guards aren't great, and Pouncey could play all three of those spots. That's probably the direction I would have went, but I can't be too critical of Witherspoon either, but I have to bring it up. Did you think quarterback here at all?
I had Ayupati and Pouncey as my next two best guys available if Witherspoon was off the board, because I know the Eagles fan was trying to trade back up to 23 to take Witherspoon, so I was glad that he fell. And addressing the quarterback, are you referring to Tim Tebow? Is that?
I mean, I have Clawson, like everybody else, ranked ahead of Tebow. And at 24, you probably couldn't expect Clawson to be there when you originally made the trade down. But, yeah, you have to bring up Tebow when you bring up Jacksonville. But if you would have picked him in the first round, I would have crucified you.
No, Well, I actually go to Florida State, so I am like anti-Tebow. But, you know, the Jaguars have done this all along. They try to appease the Florida fan base. And in recent years, Reggie Nelson, Derek Harvey, it just hasn't worked out. And I'm glad that Gene Smith has been just going to, you know, picking talent over appeasing the fan base or talent over need. Because at the end of the day, last year we had 16 rookies that made 71 total starts for the team. And then, you know, along with Witherspoon, I don't know if his speed or his coverage skills will translate to the NFL, but I know that his tackling and his football intelligence will. And I just, you know, in this day and age, it's a stupid problem to have, but you got to have someone that can tackle in your linebacker core.
Yeah, and like I said, Del Rio's on the hot seat. They need instant impact there. And I think Witherspoon provides that. So I can't be too critical of the pick. I would have taken Pouncey slightly over him, but not because he's from Florida or any of those reasons, just because he's a stud interior lineman.
Yeah.
Now, the former Jacksonville Jaguars superfan, Anthony Brown, has emailed me and has been all over this pick, saying, are you kidding me? What is with this pick? He would have preferred you stayed at 10 and taken Taylor Mays. Now, I've already heard...
No.
I already heard Matt say Taylor Mays, not exactly his pick, and certainly not at 10.
That's why he's the former super fan.
It's the same thing with Reggie Nelson. All the athletic ability in the world just doesn't understand how to play the game quite yet, and I just can't deal with another safety, you know, misreading plays, not tackling, letting the ball go over his head. So, no, Taylor Mays would not be the pick. If we had stayed at 10, I would have liked to see... You know, Mel is all about C.J. Spiller being there. I would have liked to see Rolando McClain. Again, another linebacker, a force. Maybe it doesn't keep Del Rio off the hot seat. But you know what? I'm thinking long-term, and, you know, heavy hitters in the middle is where I would have gone.
Anthony,
last question for you, though. If you're there at 10, what about Earl Thomas?
I think safety is a great need for us. Again, like I said, I would go McClain over Spiller, but any one of those three guys, I'd be more than willing to give out a Jacksonville Jaguar uniform to them.
Yeah, I'm a big Thomas believer, although I could see where fans would be like, boy, this is Reggie Nelson all over again. You know, a fast, finesse, smaller, free safety only type. But, you know, if Nelson didn't work out, that doesn't mean the next guy won't either.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be Taylor Mays for me.
Is there any scenario at all that Eric Berry even falls remotely to the Jaguars at 10?
I think there's no chance at all. I mean, there's no chance, in my opinion, that he can get past Cleveland.
Okay.
All right. Well, Anthony also suggested that convert Taylor Mays to linebacker, which I don't think you do with your 10th pick in the NFL draft.
No. You did that in the third round.
So, Andrew, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Good luck with this.
So, up next in the Superfan Super Mock Draft is the Baltimore Ravens. They're represented by Brandon Alexander. And, Brandon, since the Patriots stole the guy that I've seen most mock drafts have you taking, you went with the tight end Jermaine Gresham here.
Yeah, let's just say I wasn't very happy with that pick. But I feel like Jermaine Gresham was a great fit and good player. I think he'll take some pressure off of Joe Flacco and Todd Heap, and he'll definitely make an impact as a rookie.
I like the pick. I really do. There's a couple other names who I would have had a really hard time picking from, and that's Jared Odrick. I mean, I think he's a really versatile, do-it-all defensive end, you know, defensive tackle, depending what time of lineman Baltimore wants to run that particular play. But I think he'd be a really good fit up front for you guys, you know, as he add some youth to the crew. And Kareem Jackson is, I think, a really underrated corner who will go in the first round. And I just see corner as Baltimore's biggest need. But, you know, it's a big pet peeve of mine when you have a young quarterback and you're doing like Tampa Bay does, and you give him nothing to throw to, you give the guy no chance to succeed. You know, and Baltimore's addressing that to go, God, and they get Bolden. Maybe you get something out of Dante Stallworth. But you had a big tight end in the middle of the field, and especially the red zone, Flacco's going to love that guy.
Yeah, well, Kareem Jackson was on the on the board. Odrick, I'm not a scout, so I wasn't sure if he could fit our scheme, but I definitely see four defensive end as a need. Also, pass rush. Our secondary will get twice as better if our pass rush gets twice as better, and the more pressure we could find later in the draft to put on a quarterback, I think that'll help us tremendously. And also, I know tight end is deep and cornerback is supposedly deep in this draft too, so hopefully we'll be able to find somehow, some way in the first three, four picks, a tight end, a wide receiver, a corner, or outside linebacker, or a 3-4 defensive end, three of those five positions, I think would be great.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you're dead on, and I can't argue with Gresham, and I certainly can't argue with Ozzie Newsome. I got little doubt that he's going to make the right call, at least in round one.
Brandon, do you feel that the draft is going to be enough to bring you up to the next level? I mean, you did crush the Patriots last year in the playoffs.
It's a beautiful game.
Is this team ready to be a championship caliber team?
Well, I do believe that the Ravens next year, their ceiling is Joe Flacco's ceiling. If he's great, if he takes that next step, our ceiling is pretty high. You know, as I always say, any competent quarterback in the NFL is worth 7 wins by himself. Good quarterbacks will get you 8 or 9. Elite quarterbacks will consistently have you in that 11 range. If we get 11 wins from, you know, if Joe Flacco plays to that level of 11 wins, 12 wins, and we these weapons that we've acquired for him, you know, produce, we get something out of Stallworth, Bolden, Gresham if we take him, Thomas if we take him, Mason has a competent year, and Todd Heath stays healthy, I think that this team can definitely be in, you know, AFC title game.
Brandon, one last quick question. Which unit's going to be stronger next year, offense or defense?
Offense.
I agree with you. It's un-Ravens-like, but I think so, too.
I think our team goal seems to be, instead of having a top 3 defense, you know, top 10 defense and a top 10 offense.
Yeah. I think the arrow's going up on defense, or the arrow's going up on offense, and it's going down on defense.
All right, Brandon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
With the 26th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, the Arizona Cardinals, represented by Ben Camper, selected Jerry Hughes. I don't remember if you and Matt disagreed about this particular pick, but I know you and Matt went at it a little bit in the middle of the draft.
Yeah, Matt's a fantastic contributor, and he's definitely better than nothing or you. But sometimes when I listen to Matt, I feel like he's like Mr. Conventional Wisdom. And if I'm going to get conventional wisdom, I'll read the site, or I'll look at NFL.com or whatever.
This is harsh.
Wow. You know what? If you could take some time to get off the treadmill to actually do your job here as a super fan, we could maybe chat. It's a little hard to hear you with all the action in the background, but I did like your pick. I think outside linebacker is a massive need. They're old there, even though Brown was an early pick last year. I like Hughes a lot. I think he's a heck of a football player. That being said, I probably would have taken Charles Brown because he is an offensive tackle, and I think their pass protection is about to get violently exposed with Kurt Warner no longer behind center.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that no one's a bigger critic than Levi Brown than I am, for sure. But the thing about him is that he's a slow starter. Every single season you look, and he's absolutely terrible in the first quarter of the season, and then he's dominant by the time he gets to the end. And that might
I'm not even being critical of Levi Brown. I would leave Levi Brown at right tackle
right now. And then you have a guy in Brandon Keith who was a really good prospect at Oklahoma until he ran into some problems with his coaching staff, and it's sort of whether or not you believe in Russ Grimm. Like, Russ Grimm's a Hall of Famer. You're going to see him at a Hall of Fame game this preseason. And, you know, he's been a great offensive line coach, or at least he has the reputation for an offensive line coach. So if, you know, he's the guy that the Cardinals are paying $1.5 million a year, he's got to develop some of these later-round guys.
Yeah, but you need to give him some players, too. I mean, I'm a big believer in Russ. I know Russ. When I was at Pitt for 3 years, he was next door to the Steelers. I have a ton of respect for him. But I'm still not comfortable with their protection or their ability to open holes in the run game, and they're going to become more of a run-first team. That being said, too, I mean, Arizona's got a lot of needs. I mean, I wouldn't even object to Terrence Cody here. I think you guys need a pure nose tackle. I think the secondary could use a little bit of help. I like the Hughes pick, like I said, but I just think an offensive tackle like Brown, who I expect to be gone, to be honest with you, I think he'd be a great fit at number 25, put him on the left, or 26. Put him on the left side, leave Levi Brown on the right side, go from there.
That's about cap money, cap economics, really. How much money are you going to invest along in your right tackle position? I think one of the reasons Levi Brown's getting moved to the left tackle is his contract escalates in 2 years, and so he's one of the top 10 players being paid right now, and you can't invest that money in the right tackle position. Russ Grimm was the guy who scouted and picked up Brandon Keith and Herman Johnson last year. If you believe in Russ Grimm, you believe in Russ Grimm when he says Brandon Keith is ready to start at right tackle for the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not particularly happy with Jerry here, with Hughes either. I would think that that's the sort of best value at the position in the draft. I think the Cardinals are looking at nose tackle. They're praying that Dan Williams falls to them. I think Sergio Kindle might be interesting because I think he can project to the weak inside linebacker position where I think he could help to replace Carlos Dansby. But I would love to see the Cardinals trade down 10, 12 picks and pick up Terrence Cody in the Mount Cody in the second round and look for a guy like Sean Lee sort of moving back up into the second round even farther and pick up both of those guys to really staunch their two biggest needs.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And that's a definite possibility in my opinion too, because I do think they do have a lot of needs and they don't have enough picks to really fill them with hanging in the first round. One guy, if he does fall, I think they'd be really interested in is Weatherspoon, though, and I could see that being a possibility as your run-and hit Carlos Dansby-type weak inside linebacker. I think he'd be a nice fit there, too.
He's the guy they're targeting. If he's there, they run to the podium. But I think in this, if McClain, Dan Williams, and Sean and Weatherspoon are all out, I think the Cardinals look to trade down rather than pull the trigger on an outside linebacker when they have, I think, four guys on the roster right now that they think can play, and it's just a numbers question. If you're going to bring in another outside linebacker, you're giving up on one of the guys that are already on the roster that you know can play, or at least you think you can.
Well, look at that. So despite the fact that you guys had your differences, you came together here at the end.
Except I was taking Brown.
I just had to drop some knowledge on Matt, that's all.
Oh,
so,
man.
Thanks so much.
Wow.
And good luck with your team's transformation of being the Steelers of the West.
All right, thanks a lot.
So next up in the Superfan Super Mock Draft is Jamar Grundy representing the Dallas Cowboys. And Jamar, you ended up taking the guard Mike Iupati. I believe I've seen most mock drafts with them taking Charles Brown or an offensive tackle. Talk to me about your pick here.
Well, the fact is that Iupati was one of the guys that I was hoping would fall, but I really thought that someone else was going to pick him up. So when he came to me, he was one of my highlighted guys. I really wanted Anthony Davis or Iupati, and since Iupati was the only one left, I had to take him because he's a guard, but he could also, they're projecting him that he could be a tackle. So everyone on our O-line, we need some depth, so that guy could play pretty much four different positions. So he's a guy I wanted to get.
Yeah, I can't be too critical of this one either because, you know, I've been really pumping Charles Brown with these last few picks, and I definitely think he's going to go in the first round, which he doesn't in our draft. But he's a left tackle, and he's a finesse guy, and that's just not what Dallas does up front. They want mashers. They want Leonard Davis. You know, they want, you know, Nate Newton. You know, they want big-time mashers, and Iupati's that type of guy. You know, if they could find a true left tackle that would fit that bill, that would be ideal, but those guys don't grow on trees, and you don't get them at the 27th pick in the draft. So if you do get an Iupati, I don't think he's a left tackle. You said he plays four positions. I think he could play both guard spots and probably right tackle. But, you know, if Free can be your left tackle, Iupati might be able to bump Colombo out sooner than later, and then you remain extremely nasty up front. So, you know, I think the value is really there. I'd be kind of shocked if he actually gets to 27, but I like the pick. And, you know, I could see why people say Brown, but he's not their type of lineman.
Jamar, what other spots were you considering here for the Cowboys?
I wanted Anthony Davis. I was hoping, but, you know, it was a prayer that one of the two safeties would fall. And if I didn't get any of those guys, I was just going to trade out of the first round and get a high second round because some of the other guys that I wanted for our O-line, I thought we could get at the beginning of the second round and not waste a first-round pick.
I think that's logical. Safety and tackle to me are clearly the needs. I don't think you're going to get Earl Thomas unless by chance he starts to fall to maybe 15, 16. Maybe Jerry Jones gets aggressive for really the first time this offseason, moves up and gets him. I think he'd be a great fit for your team, but you're not going to get him at 27.
Now, if we could sell our first pick and maybe Marty B and move up if Earl Thomas falls, that's what I'd like to do because we've got John Phillips sitting as our backup tight end, and, you know, not even Jesus could save Marty B from himself right now, and he doesn't have the talent, and I like to get rid of him and let John Phillips come through because he looks like he actually wants to play football instead of making YouTube videos.
Speaking of YouTube videos, how do you feel about your owner being featured in that underground video there.
That's the reason why I couldn't be a general manager, because that's the GM I would be. I'd tell you the truth, because he wasn't really bad-mouthing Parcells, but you tell me what Parcells has really done to keep his fame since his last Super Bowl, you know, with the Giants. He hasn't really done anything but make some teams better, but they haven't, you know, they've gone to the playoffs, but he hasn't really done much since he's left the Giants, and, you know, he's not worth diddly-poo right now. I hate to say it, but, you know.
Dropping a little Jim Moore on us. All right, Jamar, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thank you. Y'all have a good morning.
Take care.
Up next at pick number 28 would have been the San Diego Chargers, but Ryan Beckham decided to make a trade out, and the Eagles and Jay Fendrick moved back in. They traded their picks 37 and 70 to get back into the first round, and the Eagles selected Marquise Pouncey. Am I pronouncing his name right? I'm sure I'm not.
Marquise. And I love it. It's a great move. It's exactly what they need. They're accumulating Florida Gators left and right here. They got Joe Hayden in the first round, and they're picking the right Gators. They're not picking Tim Tebow. That's good. And I think he comes in, competes the center position right away. Jamal Jackson is coming off a bad injury. And if he doesn't beat out Jamal Jackson, or if he doesn't take over the center position immediately, he's going to be one of the starting guards. And I think he'll be, if you've noticed from what I've been saying all along with this guy, I think he's going to be a very good player in this league for a lot of years, a bona fide first-round center, and those guys are pretty special. And I think he's a great value here. Good move by Jay to jump up and grab him.
Now, we mentioned yesterday that the Eagles, with their picks, we expect them to make a lot of movement. Now, whether they make the moves that Jay made in this draft or not is to be seen and probably unlikely, but you do feel that the Eagles are going to be a mover and a shaker in this draft.
Well, they certainly can be. I mean, like we said with New England, they have a ton of cards in their hand. They don't have an awful lot of needs. I mean, they're still a pretty good football team. I don't think they can get all those guys on their roster. And I could certainly see them moving up to go get, especially a corner, like they did with Joe Hayden. You know, an interior offensive lineman's a little bit of a luxury, considering the state of their secondary, but they still have a lot of picks. Yeah, I could certainly see them being very aggressive.
With the 29th pick in the NFL draft, Superfan, Super Mock Draft, whatever it is, it's the New York Jets, it's Tom Noon, you picked Everson Griffin, whatever, we're going to crown your butts already in the AFC East. Discuss.
You're just saying we're going to whoop your butts or what?
I'm just saying, in the words of Dennis Green,
they are who we thought they were!
The New York Jets. All right, you picked Everson Griffin, a defensive end. Talk about your pick here.
Basically, the Jets are looking for, overall, they're looking for help on the front seven, and they're looking for a safety. If one of the three safeties had ended up at this spot, I might have picked him, but the way the draft rolled out, I would have taken either Audric or Griffin. Obviously, Hughes is another person we'd be interested in, but he was already picked. Again, Griffin is very good, another toy for Rex to play with on the defensive front. He probably helps out because they're starting to age on the defensive the tackles, if you will, on the 3-4 defense. And a lot of the rating systems have him as a fast pass rusher, and that's what the Jets are looking for.
Yeah, Tom, I think this is well said. I would have preferred Audric over Griffin, but not by leaps and bounds, and more just for the position he plays. I think, you know, 3-4 defensive end is a little bit more of a need right now than a 3-4 outside linebacker for you guys. But that's also sort of with the assumption that I think they're going to end up with Jason Taylor at some point, too. And with that being uncertain, it's a little bit hard to comment on that. You know, they know better than we do if that's a distinct possibility or not. You know, all of a sudden you'd have four outside linebackers with Taylor who all have a lot of talent. I mean, Golston hasn't lived up to it. I don't know that you'd have room for one more in this scenario, but Griffin would be a nice toy, obviously, for Rex Ryan to groom. Extremely athletic. Obviously, at his best coming forward, but can drop into pass coverage a little bit, too. And, you know, I think he has some versatility, and there's a lot to mold there. But I would have leaned towards Audric.
All right, Tom.
And I see that, too. And I was kind of flipping a coin when the draft was happening on Sunday night. but it was basically, I fell for the mail gel and the board, and it said that this guy was the higher pick, and I also thought of the versatility that he might be able to start inside and then end up being groomed for the outside later. But you're right, Odrick would probably fit that 3-4 tackle scheme a little bit better.
Yeah, but this guy's promising.
All right, Tom, I mean, the Jets have made a bunch of picks here, the bunch of moves here in the offseason, added weapons for Mark Sanchez. Are you worried about the sophomore slump whatsoever?
Well, at this point, I have to say I'm trying to not be a Jet fan and worry. I'm trying to be ecstatic about what has happened. The season, obviously, last year, we went way over any projections that were made, including my own, making the playoffs, making it to the championship. The only thing that keeps bouncing in the back of my head is history, and the last time we made the championship game the next year, Vinny Testaverde blew his Achilles on the first series in the first game. This season, we've been most Jet fans I've talked to have been very happy with what's going on. We're looking for improvements from Sanchez. We're looking for growth there. But we're also seeing that this team has a very positive attitude. Rex has brought this to the team. And despite the player changes and losing some people that I thought were key last year, like Feely and Thomas Jones, they're moving right ahead. They're being aggressive. And actually, I wouldn't even be very surprised in the draft if this draft pick goes away and they move right up and get somebody that they are actually targeting, which usually they're very closed-mouthed until they do target that person. Because they did that with Harris, with Revis, with Green, etc., in the draft, where they gave away draft picks to get up and pick the person they wanted.
They're just a little light on picks to pull that off now after, you know, using them for Cromartie and Santonio Holmes and all that. They don't have quite as much firepower as they usually do.
No, that's true. And I actually would be happy if they stayed where they were. I think some of the comments made, Tim Graham yesterday said something, maybe they'll actually use more than one draft scouting report than they have in the past because they drafted so few people. And other people have said they need to get some depth in the later rounds. So the second and fourth and picks and so forth that they have to, you know, they need to get a safety. They need to probably build on the offensive line some depth as well. So I would be just as happy if they got either a Griffin or an Odrick. And it looks like the way the draft is rolling out, all those guys won't be gone. Somebody will be there that they will be able to, you know, punch into the defensive line.
All right, Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Next up with pick number 30 is the Minnesota Vikings, and it's everybody's favorite super fan. You either love him or you hate him. It's Max Blaschke. Max, you weren't able to join us while we were picking live, but you had sent me your picks, and everybody was basically gone except for this one guy. So you ended up taking Colt McCoy here. Might be a little early for the quarterback.
It might be, but it was kind of a last resort. I know most people think it might be a little bit of a reach, but the guy, for crying out loud, started 58 straight games at Texas as a quarterback, and had a chance to win a championship his senior year, and wasn't quite able to do it because he got injured in the championship game. But I assume that the Vikings will probably go defense with their first pick. It's just that all the defensive guys that I had in mind were already gone by the time my pick came around.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in this pick. I'm not a big Colt McCoy fan. Loved him as a college player. I just don't think his game translates very well to the NFL in terms of his physical ability. I'm with you. You didn't have to say it, but obviously you're not a huge believer in Tavares Jackson or the quarterbacks who are on the roster that aren't wearing number 4. I agree
right,
with
exactly.
that, too. Yeah, I agree with that, too, and it does need to be addressed. But I wouldn't do it in this manner. I wouldn't take McCoy with a first-round pick, same first-round money. And, you know, the guy that would be really appealing to me is Kareem Jackson, the corner from Alabama. I think he'd be a great pick for Minnesota. And if he was there, I think they would attack him.
Right. And, defense, because as I'm sure, Matt, as you realized last year when Winfield was gone because of injury, the Vikings absolutely sucked in the secondary.
Yeah, they were really...
That was the obvious idea because that was the need that was really addressed. Because in the back of my mind, I knew you know, who is probably going to come back again for the season anyway.
Right.
So,
then you're a contender, and, you know, you draft a guy like Colt McCoy, and he wouldn't do a thing for you this year. And, you know,
exactly.
I think it's somebody to help you make a run.
Yep.
So Max, do you agree with what Matt said there? Would you have taken Kareem Jackson if you had been live with us and available, or would you have stuck with Colt McCoy here?
I probably would have took Kareem Jackson. Maybe that idea of him probably didn't cross my mind because that, you know, I looked at one, a couple of the mock drafts already posted on the internet Saturday evening to see, okay, what do some other experts think the Vikings might go. And, I probably knew it was going to be somewhere on that defensive secondary anyway, but Kareem Jackson just didn't cross my mind.
Matt, let me ask you this, because clearly Proposition 4 still in effect here, but we do believe that number 4 is going to play again this season, although one never knows.
Good point.
Would it be outrageous if the Minnesota Vikings did, in fact, take a quarterback, maybe not here, but, you know, in the second round?
No, it wouldn't be outrageous because, you know, very much like Max said, I'm not a believer in the other guys on the roster. And you have and it's sort of like an Indianapolis situation, though, too. I mean, how long is Peyton Manning going to play? They have nothing behind him, you know, but you're a contender. You can't spend high picks on quarterbacks and hope to get anything out of that position to help you win now. So it's a very fine line, but I wouldn't use a first-round pick on him, but I would look for an upside guy in the second or third round. And then you have to deal Rosenfels or Jackson, though, too, because you're not going to keep four.
Right. I understand that. So Matt, you're thinking if the Vikings, in their next pick, possibly in the second round, if, say, McCoy or Tebow or some other quarterback is there, take them around that time?
Yeah, but this draft in particular doesn't set up great for that because I don't see, you know, at the end of the second round, there's probably not going to be a huge, you know, pile of quarterbacks with a lot of upside. It's just a bad quarterback draft. So I might just have to fight another day with that.
The only other quarterback idea I had, you know, if he does happen to fall all the way to 30, would be Clawson because he has, you know, already done some of this kind of stuff at Notre Dame. If Clawson doesn't go to, say, Cleveland or Buffalo or who, you know, somewhere around that area of the draft, it's possible he could drop all the way to 30, and that would be the only other possible quarterback option if Proposition 4 does not come out of retirement again this year.
I would have no problem with that, just because I think Clawson's a far superior player prospect than McCoy. And he could fall. You know, once he gets past that first wave of bad teams that need quarterbacks, there's a big group there that aren't going to take Clawson. But if he does start to fall to this 30 range, I sure think some teams picking in the early second round, much like Cleveland did a couple years ago to go get Quinn, will jump back into the late first round. So,
right.
You know,
right. And
if he's sitting there at 30, I got no problem with it.
Right. And that was my initial idea because my thinking was, go the secondary, and if all the secondary guys that I had my finger on were gone, and if Clawson does fall this far down, pick him, because I knew McCoy was even this far down in the first round near the end of the round would probably be a stretch of the idea anyway.
Agreed.
All right, thanks, Max.
No problem, guys.
And so with the 31st pick in the Superfan Supermock Draft, Jake Vandervoorde, representing the Indianapolis Colts, selected Patrick Robinson. Talk to me about this pick here.
Well, I know Matt didn't really like the pick. It's so hard to judge Bill Polian. I've been a Colts fan forever, and sometimes you might get the position right, but the player different. Sometimes he's just way off what you even think they need. For me, you know, I think we really need to go cornerback and O-line in this draft. What order they do it in, it's real hard to say. When we went through our draft, it looked to me that, you know, Patrick Robinson was best available at that point. So that's what I went with. Hopefully figuring, you know, Saffold and Charles Brown were still on the board at that point. Even maybe, you know, Dukasi was maybe someone that would be there. in the second round for us to get. So that's kind of what I was thinking at that point.
Yeah, I was critical of the pick, and I just don't think it's a very good fit. Patrick Robinson's more of a finesse, wannabe Deion-type corner, and, you know, they want bangers. They want guys who can be physical, come up in the run game, play some cover two with them. I keep talking about Kareem Jackson from Alabama. I think they'd love to have him. I think they'd love to have Brown, too, the left tackle from USC. And I don't think they could pass on Brown. I think that'd be a home run for him. And like I said throughout this podcast, I don't think he'll be there either. I don't think he'll last to 31.
Right.
And you mentioned Saffold. Saffold's a guy that I sort of have penciled in that 31 spot from Indiana. You know, tough guy, smart, that I think they could get a lot of mileage out as either a left tackle, a right tackle, a guard, but they'll find somewhere for him. I'm kind of thinking that's going to be their pick.
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I don't agree with anything or disagree with anything you said. If we do get Saffold there in the first, you know, Parrish Cox or maybe even Amari Spivey or someone there. I like Kareem Jackson too, like you said, but I got the same feeling that he probably won't be there.
Yeah.
I kind of also, you know, there's still a couple more options. Maybe, you know, I know Jared Gaither's still out there. You know, who knows what will happen on draft day if we can still tender and try and get him. And the Colts have always had a tendency to move down when they're that low in the draft just to get out of the first round. You don't have to pay the first round money. Maybe pick up early second round or even picks for next year. The Colts definitely have a tendency to do that. So I know that, you know, listen to the first draft podcast that both those guys have us going defensive line. And yes, I think that that's a problem, but you know, we did draft Fede Mawala last year in the second round, and that's about as early as I've ever seen Polian pick a defensive line. So I don't really see us going there first round like they had us, but, you know, like I said, it's still always a possibility. You never know with Bill Polian.
Yeah, and the way this draft sets up, I don't see a defensive lineman glaring right now that would be a perfect fit for him. I really like Audric, but I like him better in the 3-4. And, yeah, I don't disagree with corner. I just would not have taken Patrick Robinson, and I think those two offensive tackles would be really appealing to them.
All right, Jake, thanks for joining us.
All right, guys.
Thanks, bud.
And with the final pick in the first round of the Superfan Super Mock Draft, the New Orleans Saints, represented by Travis Holland, select Terrence Cody.
Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints, Pod.
Sure. You can throw that in there. I have to give the props where it's belonged. Talk to us about this pick here, Travis.
Well, it had to be a front seven defensive guy. We had just signed Alex Brown and didn't know when I made the pick, but today the Saints signed Jimmy Wilkerson. So that kind of ruled that out. I was hoping Sean Witherspoon would fall to me or maybe even Jerry Hughes move him to outside linebacker, but they were both gone, so I had to go with defensive tackle. And it came down to a toss-up between Brian Price and Cody, and I remember all those plays of, like, Tim Hightower in the Arizona game, 70 yards first play, Joseph Addai, even Cadillac Williams, and we just need some beef on the front line. So I had to go with the biggest man there was, and that was Terrence Cody.
There must be a reason these guys are Super Bowl champs, because this is the only guy that I really don't have much to add to. Travis is on top of it. This is exactly how I would have played it. And you'd love to see Witherspoon fall. You have to go front seven. I think defensive end can kind of be put on the back burner. I think their defensive tackles were a massive liability last year, including Ellis, who I think is a little bit overrated right now. And you just know what you're getting with this guy. You plug him in on first and second down, stop the run, and that's all you need to do. And you make Ellis's life a little easier, and you certainly make Jonathan Vilma's life a lot easier.
Right.
Where are you thinking for later on in the draft here, Travis?
More defense. I mean, running back possibly because Mike Bell's gone, and I think Sean Payton likes the platoon idea, keep everybody fresh, especially since Pierre and Reggie have some injury concerns. So depending on how it shakes out, maybe even as high as the second round, you could see him go Dwyer or even maybe a guy like Gerhardt. Might be a little too high for that spot. More than likely, you would see him go outside linebacker around that area, I would guess. I don't think Dale Washington, the guy from TCU, will be still around that time, but, you know, athletic outside linebacker like that in the second round would probably be the best bet.
Matt,
I agree. I very much agree. It wouldn't shock me if Peyton, you know, grabbed another toy, if he grabbed a tight end or a running back that fell just because he couldn't help himself. But I would love to see them stick with front seven with their first two picks.
Yeah.
All right, Travis, thanks for joining us.
No problem. You have a good one.
Matt, we're now going to be joined by some of the superfans who don't have picks in the first round, and that includes Ed Barrientos of the Chicago Bears. I should say of the Chicago Bears. He represents the Chicago Bears as their superfan.
He doesn't suit up for them on Sunday.
No, no, he doesn't. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks. And thanks for picking up the place for Jeremy. It's been great listening to you guys in the offseason.
No, thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
Soon. Yep.
Ed, since you don't have a first-round pick, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at how the Superfan Supermock draft ran out. What are your feelings? What are you hoping that happens that the Bears can do here to improve their team?
Well, this year's pick, part of the trade was with the Jay Cutler deal, so I still think that's part of our first-round pick. In the second round, unfortunately, Gaines Adams was what they traded for the second round pick, and unfortunately he passed away. So they're out of the first and second round. Their third pick, first pick would be in the third round. They need to get a safety and their offensive line help. And from the looks at it, it looks like there's a few guys that might be available. Pick 75 when the Bears pick again. A guy like Chad Jones out of LSU, Major Wright out of Florida, and maybe even Myron Roll down the road, maybe in third round through sixth round, might be someone they can take a little reach on. I personally like Major Wright. He's got good productivity, good speed, good size, and he plays for Florida out of big time program. I know Mike Mayock pointed out the guy from Oklahoma named Dominic Franks, and Oklahoma is a school that Jerry Angelo likes to pick out of, and he's a little undersized. Well, 5'11", 184, actually that's pretty good size for a cornerback, and Bears could definitely use some defensive back help.
Yeah, that's hard to argue with. It's hard to – obviously, these next couple picks are going to be pretty tough to speculate, especially you guys starting in the third round of who's really even going to be there. But I like the direction. Personally, I would prefer that they went with a big, mauling, slow-footed guard because that's what you get in the third round.
Kind of like Zane Beatles from Utah.
Yeah, the kid from Illinois. Yeah, there's those type of guys that fall because they're not great athletes. They're pure guards. You can usually do well in the third round there. You can move Omiyale over to right tackle, get Schaefer off the field, which is really where he belongs.
There's one old tackle from Virginia named Will Barker that the Bears have brought in for a visit, and as well they've winning this pro day. He's 6'7", 317, so he may fit in at that right tackle spot, because in this new offense, they're going to need basically two left tackles.
Yeah, you know what? I think they need at least two more starters on the line in general, and they're not going to get it. So, you know, such is life. But, you know, they did bring in Malamalu Yuna, who I think is going to act sort of as an extra tackle and keep him in a little more than Mike Martz has used in the past, keep an extra blocker in. And I do recognize that safety is a big need. There's no question about that. But you would hope the pass rush is a little better. Urlacher's back to run down the middle and deal with, you know, take some of the pressure off the safety position in general.
Yeah, I would hope so. But it's just what they have now is just not good enough. It hasn't been good enough at all. Another guy to keep eye on offensive line is Tony Washington out of Abilene Christian. The Bears love Abilene Christian, and they seem to get puck players out of there all the time. And he's a pretty big offensive tackle as well.
Yeah, who could project a guard as well, too. Mm-hmm. So, they have a lot of options, but those are the positions I think you're targeting in the right.
Yeah, and Kuiper mentions a receiver. I don't think they're going to go for a receiver in the draft unless he's like a seventh-round pick or something. I really don't see them going for a receiver right now. If anything, they'll go after Torrey Holt.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they have adequate receivers. They have some smaller guys like Hester and Knox, who I think really fit the Mart system pretty well. You know, his quickness and get out of their breaks quick and, you know, get up the field and make plays after the catch. So I don't think they're really deficient at receiver. But you could trade Olsen, too, and move up.
Yeah, and if they trade Olsen, they're not going to get much for him. I mean, if you can see with Ogbon Bolden, he's not going to get render more than a fifth-round pick, unfortunately. I don't know. Maybe they'll get a little desperate if the Patriots make it a little desperate and swing one of those second-rounders around with them.
Doubt it.
You know, doubt it, exactly. But who knows? That's dreaming, you know. That's super fan dreaming.
All right, man.
All right, thanks, Ed.
Sure, guys. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
The other team that did not have a pick in the first round of the mock draft here was the Carolina Panthers. And we have the co-superfans online right now, Democratic Mike Shrum and DJ Will. Guys, how are you?
Doing well. I'm good here, Pod, out here in the West Coast.
Good to have you on, gentlemen.
Let's start with DJ Will here. I know that you were part. Were you part of the draft on Sunday evening?
I chimed in. I just was curious to see how the picks were going to go for the first round. But again, typically, well, with Panthers, we have, you know, no horse in a race on So.
Yeah, I thought I saw you there. Having seen how the draft went out, and no, I mean, what do you feel is your biggest need for your team?
Well, seeing as how we, you know, we don't have a first round pick, you know, for the second straight year, I feel that our needs are clearly in the offense, defensive line, and of course, you know, the quarterback and receiver. I have no clue what Marty Herney's going to do. That is really a coin flip, but we really need to address O-line, quarterback, and wide receiver. So depending on who's left when it comes time to our picks, we'll see what happens.
Mike, you agree with that?
I do. I see us this year. I think we're going to try one more year with a second-round wide receiver. The person who I'd like to see is Marty Gilliard from Cincinnati. I think he's a Steve Smith clone. He's small, shifty. He helps us in the return game. He could fill in immediately in the punt and kick return and would be the deep threat that Steve Smith has been lobbying for so Steve can eventually go to the slot receiver. And if he's on the board, I think that's who we take. Some people say he might slip to the third round, but I think that's who I would love to see in a Carolina Panthers uniform with our first pick.
Matt, what do you think?
You know what? I see two massive needs here, and receiver is definitely one of them, and I would put that number one. And I really dislike the defensive tackle group right now, too, to be honest with you. I like the O-line. I disagree with you there a little bit. I think they can be fine on the O-line. Gross and Otah come back. I think they really have something there in Khalil. But I really think you almost have to go receiver with this pick because, you know, you're breaking in a young quarterback, and you need to give him a chance to succeed, and you need to take a little bit of pressure off Steve Smith. And I'm not a huge believer in Gilliard, but I think that's a decent pick. And I think Damian Williams from USC would be a fine pick. It's a good receiver draft. I think they'll get some decent value there. The one thing about this team that, you know, everyone seems to think that John Fox is on the hot seat, which is apparently true. You know, he's a free agent at the end of the year. I hope they don't take the approach they have in the past and trade next year's first to get back in the first round. I mean, that would be something I really would be critical of because it's pretty apparent that they're building for tomorrow.
Will, do you think your team needs a quarterback, or are you okay with Matt Moore behind center?
I'm fine with how Matt came in on the heels of the abysmal Stallone performance of last year. I mean, the last two seasons we've gone 20-12, but when Matt came in, he went 4-1. He looked good, but this was at the tail end of our season that was pretty much going up in flames. However, I really think there needs to be someone in there to compete with him, and my discussions with Democratic Mike, interesting, if he's available, an interesting selection would be Jason Campbell from the Redskins. And here's why. A little leadership, experience, of course, behind center, and I don't feel that any of the quarterback, the list of quarterbacks in this draft, we will even get a sniff of. I like Jason Campbell in our system, if it happens.
I like that a lot, yeah, because I don't know that bringing in a rookie helps you. I think a veteran presence would go a long way. You know, Matt Moore is not a rookie, but he's a young guy. I don't know that another young guy is the answer. I think Campbell would be an excellent fit with you guys. A run-first team, you wouldn't put a ton on his shoulders. It's a good offensive line that will protect him, keep him upright. He's a good downfield thrower for Steve Smith. You need to get him more weapons still. I mean, that's still the same issues at receiver. But I like that. I would be very much in the Jason Campbell market if I were the Panthers.
Hey, Matt, what about there was another thing on receivers. Aurelius Ben from Illinois or Golden Tate from Notre Dame. What are your thoughts on those two gentlemen?
Well, that'd be great. I just don't think they're going to last that long. I think they'll be very early second-round picks. I mean, I could see St. Louis jumping on one of them, or certainly Tampa Bay with that third pick in the second round. Kansas City, Cleveland, a lot of those teams that are picking very early in the second round, I think we'll have a hard time passing on those two.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
One name to remember, though, is a sort of a local product, is Linval Joseph, a big athletic defensive tackle that I think would be a good project for them, you know, as a real, you know, upside guy who could potentially be a dominator inside for them. Keep an eye on him.
All right, guys, thanks for joining us today.
And, Todd, can I add one thing in real quickly?
Sure.
Armani Edwards, I know you're probably familiar with, and as an Appalachian State graduate, has been, you know, the guy I've been pulling for the last 4 years, Michigan game and all that.
Right.
And he, you know, he's 4.4 speed. He's not projected to be a quarterback in the NFL, but he's a playmaker and he's a winner. And with all of our late picks, the 3 and the 6 and the 2 and the 7th, I really see us making a play for him. He's very, very popular in North Carolina. Appalachian State has a huge following. He's very well known, and he's a proven winner and a hard worker, and I see us taking him late or picking him up on the in free agency after the draft to maybe keep on the roster as a project third quarterback or a returner or a wide receiver. But he's just got the speed and the mentality that I would love to see in a Carolina Panthers uniform.
Yeah, that's very well said. I could certainly see him being a fan favorite. I don't think you'll get him as a free agent. I think you will if you use one of those late picks to get him. But I could certainly see him in Carolina colors. I think that's a real good fit. Returner, like you said, maybe an emergency quarterback, but develop as a slot receiver. You know, hang out with Steve Smith for a while and learn a thing or two.
And the final superfan we'll be talking to is Ryan Beckham, the San Diego Chargers superfan, the only superfan to trade out of the first round. Let's start there, Ryan. What made you trade out of pick number 28?
Well, I was looking over the players that were available left, and I mean, I don't know exactly what's on AJ Smith's board, but I'm assuming he has a cluster of players, because they don't really need to draft an immediate starter. Getting a pick at 70 and then only moving down, you know, 9 spots. The group of players that I liked at that spot, I'm sure you're going to have a chance to get one of them down there, and you pick up an extra third. But like even Bill Belichick said that the second round this year is kind of like a first round in normal year's draft. So the talent's pretty deep.
Yeah, I think this was a very wise move by Ryan here because, you know, where San Diego picked, I didn't think there was a clear-cut choice for them. Ryan Matthews probably would be pretty attractive and hard to deal away from. I could see you not thinking he's going to be there, and he still is in this scenario. As the first round ends, Pod, right? He didn't go, did he?
No.
Right.
No.
I think he's still out there, and Best from Cal, I think, is really exciting too. You know, obviously there is a massive running back need. But you guys moved up in the second round. You just picked up another third rounder in this deal. You could get guys like Hardesty from Tennessee, Gerhardt from Stanford. I think there's a lot of options at the running back position with all your picks now in the second, third round that maybe even take two of them. You take a Best and you take a Hammer too and see what goes from there. And you can still deal Sproles. It's a nice situation for you. The one other guy I'd be attractive to me with where you picked originally in the first round would have been Mount Cody. I mean, I think Mount Cody would be a nice Charger right now, just to learn from the guys ahead of him, eventually take over that nose tackle spot and just eat space.
Yeah, I was definitely tempted to take Matthews. He's, from what I hear, is a really good guy. He's a California product, and but I think the ability to fill in a couple areas of need along defensive line and you know, secondary or something with a extra third was a little bit too much to pass up for me. But yeah, I agree, those players look good there too.
Yeah, you know, with all those picks in the second and third round, I think they'd be really wise too to add one more corner. I'm not sold on Kaysen to be a starter. You know, if their first pick overall was a corner, I wouldn't object to that either.
Is this the year, Ryan, that the Chargers finally live up to their potential?
That's a good question. I've been wondering that for, I think, like 3 years now. But, you know, we'll see. I think everyone's got a bitter taste in their mouth after last season. And, you know, as long as you have number 17 leading you, I guess you always have a chance. And playing in that division, they're going to have a good chance to make the playoffs again. I guess it's going to come down to a matter of executing in January, and they didn't do that well at all last year. So,
I can tell you right now, I'm picking the Chargers to win the AFC West.
All right, so if we got a shot in January, hopefully our kicker can make some field goals and score some more points, but we'll see.
Well, I guess that would be my next question then for you, Matt. If they make the playoffs again, as they're expected to, but they lose again in the playoffs, is that it for Mr. Norv Turner?
I think it has to go back to circumstances. I mean, if they're a 10-6 team, they win, they roll through that division, and they win a playoff game and lose the AFC Championship in Indianapolis or in New York or New England or something along those lines, and those teams are 14-2, I don't know that you kill Norv for that. But if they lose at home to a wild card team situation again, yeah, that might be it.
You know, you brought up 14-2. Just so everyone knows, I'm not a complete homer. I do not have the Patriots at 14-2.
I don't either, but it's possible.
Okay, Ryan, you've mentioned who you hope falls. Hopefully everything works out well, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right. Thanks, guys.
So that does it for this massive undertaking, Matt Williamson. The Superfan Super Mock Draft is over.
Is that it? We're not going to do another round?
No. I think one round is more than enough. Thank you very much, as you've been an integral part of this process along the entire way.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
And we're not done. We are going to take a break. At least you're going to take a break. And you'll be back on Thursday, where I believe I'll have the author of the NFL Draft Bible to join you. I think it's the perfect guest on the day of the draft.
Hit it hard. Draft only, I would imagine.
Yes, pretty much. Well, we'll have an interview with John Beeson, although you do touch upon the draft with him.
Right. Yeah, we already recorded that one.
Yes. You didn't have to give it all away. We will have another football podcast for you tomorrow. That would be First Draft with Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay. Get their last-minute thoughts. We will also be back again with Football Today on Friday to give you sort of a feel of how the first round went on Thursday evening. And then First Draft will wrap it all up on Monday. And then we'll be hitting that offseason pretty hard, and we'll probably touch upon some of those topics that you guys have wanted to get to, those deeper mechanic-type topics.
Sounds fun to me.
So, for Matt Williamson, for all the super fans, thanks for listening, and there you have it.
The music provided on today's show is from Mevio's Music Alley, Will Chryski's Metal Mayhem. Check it out at music.mevio.com. For more football talk, be sure to check out Football Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.